Welcome to our first podcast. This is Agent K coming to you live from GangstersOat.com. This one's going to be short and sweet, but we're going to clearly define the objectives behind what we call the Kelowna Summer Jam. When I first started posting about the Kelowna Summer Jam, people were asking if it's some kind of a music festival, and it's more of a play on words taken from the song, "If You Get Jammed Up, Don't Mention My Name." It's a crime jam. There's been a few very high-profile cases in Kelowna, and as those cases go to trial, that's going to bring more media attention to crime in Kelowna. The murder of Brittany Irving, the murder of Dane Phillips, those are two horrific events, and those trials, as they come forward, are going to be covered by the media. As a website dedicated to posting information about gang members and gang violence, we're going to focus on Kelowna this summer and spotlight those two hearings and those two trials. Recently, there's been a spike in the Vancouver gang war in Surrey, Vancouver, and even extending to BC members, BC citizens in Mexico being shot and arrested. Anytime violence increases, that's going to raise media awareness. It's going to bring attention to the gangsters, the gang members, and the gang violence. And that's something they don't really want. And it's like any secret society, it tries to keep secret. Any bully tries to keep his bullying a secret. The more people that know about the bullying, the less effective it is. This is the whole purpose of bringing attention to it. The first thing I want to address is the stereotypes associated with reporting crime to the police. When we take a look at historically, you know, Surrey used to be the car theft capital of North America. And Surrey, there's a lot of Surrey jokes. People joke about Surrey. People joke about the crime and violence in Surrey. A few years ago, my daughter and I went to Langley, and we were parked at Willowbrook Mall, and we get out of the car, and my daughter looks around, and she starts laughing. And I said, "What's so funny?" And she says, "How can you tell we just left Surrey?" And I said, "I don't know how." She goes, "No, but none of the cars around here have clubs on them." And I looked around, and sure enough, none of the cars parked in the parking lot had clubs. It was kind of strange for us to see. So we kind of chuckled and said, "Yeah, I guess that's how you can tell we left Surrey." Then on our way home on the radio, we heard an announcement on the news saying that crime or car theft in Surrey had dramatically dropped, but it had dramatically increased in Langley. And we really had a laugh over that because it was pretty obvious. It's okay, people in Surrey started using clubs and people in Langley didn't. So car thieves just went to somewhere where it was easier. And I think it's important to realize that high crime can be dealt with, and it takes community involvement. The main thing that I want to push here, though, is, you know, reporting a car thief to the police is not being a rat. You know, stealing cars is a rat. You know, we used to joke about, you know, Surrey rats, you know, long hair, heavy metal music, stealing cars, going for joyriding, vandalizing things. Those are like low-life rats that we would used to make fun of. So someone to report a car thief to the police would most certainly not be a rat. You know, same too. If someone steals a motorcycle, that's even worse. If someone steals your motorcycle, they are a rat. Reporting that person to the police most certainly isn't being a rat. Stealing motorcycles, stealing cars, breaking into homes, break and enter. That's being a rat. That's rat-like. Reporting someone who breaks into your home or who is in possession of stolen property or who fences and steals stolen property, reporting that to the police, that's not being a rat. Someone who breaks into your home and steals your stuff, they're the rats. And I think society in general clearly understand that. Taking it one step further, selling crack. Selling crack is not socially acceptable. You know, crack creates a lot of violence. Same with crystal meth. Those are two dangerous drugs that seriously, adversely affect society and people in it. It affects them because it destroys their lives. It makes them heavily addicted. It's like feeding them rat poison. It destroys their lives, and it makes them commit crime. Nobody, you know, tries to assault a senior citizen with an axe for to smoke another blunt, but they have done that in Surrey for $5 to buy more crack. So crack creates violence. It creates, you know, crack addicts who will assault senior citizens, who will assault anyone, knives, axes, whatever. You know, they'll use violence to steal to feed their habit. So reporting a crack dealer or a crack addict who steals your stuff isn't being a rat. Failing to do so is. And the fat cats that profit from selling crack, they're not, you know, John Gotti people that you'd want to admire. They're dirtbags. They're exploiting, you know, senior citizens getting mugged. They're exploiting, you know, people getting their bikes stolen, their cars stolen, their houses broken into. People who profit from selling crack are the ones creating that crime. It's nothing noble. There's nothing noble there. And I think it's really important that we understand that, because reporting someone who commits murder isn't being a rat. You know, previously, back in the day, when I was growing up, a narc was the lowest form of life on the social ladder. It's somebody who'd pretend to be your friend, smoke your drugs, and then bust you for doing the same thing that he was doing with you. And the whole concept of pretending to be your friend and then betraying that friendship and busting you, when I was growing up, that was the lowest form of life. But now we see new depths rise. You know, the Hells Angels' involvement in the Picton farm, having a grow up on site, running Piggy Palace. You know, there's a lot there that's really, really messed up. You know, there's nothing noble or admirable about mutilating a crack hoe. You know, prostitutes who are drug addicted are human beings. They're someone's daughter, someone's sister, and quite often, you know, someone's mother, tragically enough. And, you know, just sloughing it off and saying, oh, they're just a crack hoe, you know, we can kill them and mutilate them, that's really deranged. Really deranged. And I think society knows that and recognize that. And I think society's been confused a little bit about the dramatic rage and denial that the Hells Angels were ever involved with any of that. But, you know, Dave Picton was a Hells Angels associate. Hells Angels had a grow up on site. Hells Angels were involved with the illegal booze can, Piggy Palace. They were directly involved with the Picton farm. So I think, you know, as soon as the word Hells Angels come in, the Hells Angels aren't from here. You know, what is it, the 80s? They came, they haven't been here that long. But in a very short period of time, they've used ruthless violence to gain control of the drug trade. And a specific concern is crack. You know, if somebody wants to smoke a blunt, that's their business. There's a huge difference between pot and crack and crystal meth. People can argue now that the pot nowadays is much more higher grade, higher quality. I'm not going to dispute that. There's a lot of people out there that smoke way too much pot. I don't think you should smoke pot in driving, which is becoming common, and I think that's really stupid. But I think that decriminalizing pot is important, because our court system is full, our prisons are full, and we need to address the violence that the harder drugs like crack and crystal meth are creating in our communities, in our society. So, dealing with these issues brings us to the Hells Angels. Now, the Hells Angels retirement village is in Kelowna. David Giles, the Rusty Vibrator. He may be a senior citizen with a problem with drooling, and well, certainly I don't anyone to shoot him, but his involvement with the East Vancouver Hells Angels and all the Kelowna Hells Angels that are involved, the East End Hells Angels, and their ruthless control of the drug trade in East Vancouver, which is resulting in Native women being pushed out of windows for drug debts. A lot of horrible, horrible violence that has been going on. A lot of it is involved in Kelowna. Now, Jeff Meissner was a good guy. His young kids, it was really heartbreaking for me to see the appeal that his family made on the media. Jeff's wife said that her daughter was really sad when she got up Christmas morning, saying she didn't get what she wanted for Christmas. She wanted her dad back, and her dad was missing. But a year after his death, Tammy went and applied to the courts to get an order declaring him legally deceased, so she could, as a widow and a single mother, sell some of the assets that were in both parties' names, so she could feed her kids and survive as a widow, as a single parent. And that application was private. It was private to accomplish the goal of selling these assets. Well, the media got a hold of some of those court documents, and without her permission, because it was part of the public domain, and publicized the fact that she admitted that her husband Jeff was involved with the Hells Angels and the Kingpin crew, and the Kingpin crew. I mean, Dale Habib, the Queen Pinhead of. It's just bizarre that such an idiot could be given a place of honor when you look at his history, you know. And I know the Kingpin crew or the Pinheads or whatever you call them, they don't have a position of honor, but, you know, we understand that they have associations with the Hells Angels, and we don't know exactly what they're doing, but we do know that this court document claimed that Jeff Muzner had ties to the Hells Angels and to the Kingpin crew, and all of a sudden he's dead. He's missing. His body was never recovered. And Jeff was a good guy. So this isn't just a matter of police informants being murdered like the Christmas of Vancouver in 1995. This is good people getting screwed and betrayed by people who are supposed to talk about love and respect, L&R, which is, in many cases, an offensive lie. Jeff was a good guy. He didn't deserve that. His kids didn't deserve that. And I really find it to be outrageous. His connection to the Kingpin crew is concerning. You know, and I know some people were spreading rumors that, oh, Jeff stole a whole bunch of pot from the Hells Angels. And it's like, okay, for him to steal that much pot, where would he put it? You know, I don't believe Jeff stole anything from the Hells Angels. I think the Queen Pinhead lied about Jeff. And he is trying to cover that up. And just like the Brittany Irving case, Brittany was a wonderful person. She sold pot to support her Oxy habit. Who cares? That doesn't hurt anyone else. She sold pot. She had an addiction. She admitted it. And she was going for treatment. So she was selling pot, which doesn't really hurt anyone. It's a voluntary choice. It's not highly addictive like crack or meth. And she wasn't really hurting anyone. So all of a sudden, Joey Verma is arrested for her murder. We know that Joey Verma had ties to the Hells Angels. We know that Joey Verma had ties to Dale Habib, the Queen Pinhead. And I find that very concerning. You know, Dale's all, oh, you know, if Joey killed Brittany, then, you know, our friendship is over. And that's bullshit. Excuse my French. It's if Joey didn't have permission to murder Brittany, he would have left town. He was a Hells Angels associate. Brittany had lived on a Hells Angels grow up that was busted. People were talking, implying that, okay, maybe Brittany was the one that was the rat on the grow up. Well, number one, that doesn't make sense. Number two, it's a lie. Brittany was not a rat. And we've seen that happen a lot before in Surrey. You know, someone falsely accused of being a rat, they kill them, either mistakenly think they're a rat because they're a thug that just jumps to the accusation and kills them, or they screw them, and they accuse them of being a rat, so people won't ask questions. Oh, they were a rat, so that's why they killed them. And as soon as they say that, then people stop asking questions. But it's really important to ask questions about Brittany's murder, because if she was on a Hells Angels grow up and Joey was stealing from her, then indirectly he'd be stealing from the Hells Angels, and he would have left town, and he didn't. He stayed in town doing business as usual. So the whole concept that Joey Verma acted alone and that he ripped Brittany off, to me, is absolutely nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. I think they falsely accused her of being a rat, and they made a mistake because she wasn't. And it's a tragic mistake. And it's something that we have to face and deal with, because it's not the first time it's happened. Now, oh, and also the VP tattoo. I mean, that shows that the other comment about, oh, if Joey killed Brittany, then our friendship is over. Okay, that's another lie. because he's got this VP tattoo. And someone close to me contacted and said, oh, that's a lie. It says VF. And then I says, well, we know the fact that he was a Hells Angels associate is not a lie. We know the fact that Joey was associated with Dale Habib is not a lie. And we know that he's been accused of murdering Brittany Irving. And the person contacted back and said, oh, I'm sorry, I guess the tattoo now says VP. So from several different sources, we have the claim that Joey Verma has a VP tattoo and is recruiting for the Kingpin crew in prison, which is absolutely outrageous. Indirectly bragging about the murder of Brittany Irving, that's outrageous. It's just not acceptable. And I think now, not only is this going to bring a huge amount of media attention to Kelowna this summer, I think people are starting to understand that, okay, reporting a murderer to the police isn't being a rat. Failing to do so is. We owe it to Jeff, we owe it to Brittany, and we owe it to Dane Phillips. Dane Phillips is like the epitome of how corrupt and how boldly corrupt these people have become. Robert Thomas is a petty thief from Ontario. Look at his criminal record. Thief, possession of stolen property. That's all rat-like. So all of a sudden now he puts on a Hells Angels t-shirt and gets a whole bunch of buddies. Norman Cox, Bobby Cox, the little guy who's a little bit absurd from the throttle lockers. I thought, okay, finally we have a guy. He's not a steroid monkey. You know, maybe this guy's a real biker. Obviously not. He's just a little kid who has this delusional fantasy of what love and respect are. Love and respect doesn't mean you get a whole bunch of guys together and you beat up one man with baseball bats and hammers until he's dead for no reason in public. That isn't love and respect. That is deranged absurdity. And anyone keeping anything about that silent for any other reason than fear is deranged. I can understand how people wouldn't want to say anything because they're afraid of being targeted. But if you think that it's cool to be a Hells Angels or it's cool to do something like that, then you're deranged. You need professional help. Because that case, once again, is coming to the media attention this summer, and we're going to focus on it. So basically, that's all I had to say about the Kelowna Summer Jam. Those cases about Brittany Irving's murder, Jeff Messner's murder, Dane Phillips' murder, those three high-profile events are going to bring a lot of media attention and public awareness on crime in Kelowna. And I just want to emphasize that as we spark, you know, public awareness about crime in Kelowna, that if you guys put clubs on your cars, that'll help the car theft. But more importantly, if you report crime to the police, you know, and if there are, you know, security issues or concerns about anonymity, then you can get a fake email address and use a fake name and send it to me, and I'll pass it on to the right channels or see what we can find to publicize it on the website. Because this summer, the Kelowna Summer Jam 2012, coming to you live from gangstersout.com, is a spotlight in crime in Kelowna. It's a spotlight on criminal associations like the Rusty Vibrator, like the B&E petty thief Robert Thomas, the epitome, the old man who got knocked out by a kid in prison because he's a dirtbag who, with a bunch of guys, got baseball bats and hammers and beat someone to death in public. Reporting those murders to the police is not being a rat. Failing to do so is. Don't be a rat. Join us and bring attention to the crime in Kelowna this summer in the Kelowna Summer Jam 2012.